Hey friends, Peggy Hall back with you from thehealthyamerican.org. You know my guest, Patrick Wood, he has been on the front lines of technocracy trying to sound the alarm and let people know what that is and how we should be aware of it. Kind of the warning signs. He's got a website called Technocracy News. I'll share that with you in just a moment. We're going to be breaking down the news. And Patrick, welcome back.
You bet. Good to be with you.
Before we came on the air, I said, what should we talk about? You said everything. Everything's there. There's news, there's breaking news. And my audience is really concerned about the potential of collapsing the economy, bringing in the digital currency. I did a transaction earlier today with cash, and the woman was fumbling around trying to get change. And I thought, people are just not used to using cash. I always make a point of talking about it in public, like, well, I better use it while I've got it. And that's only one part of the picture. So what is going on? What do we need to know about? And give us a little bit of your background, just in case some viewers here may not know that you have been sounding this alarm for decades.
Long time. Well, I started in the late 1970s, actually, when I partnered with the late Anthony C. Sutton. He was a professor at Stanford, and I ran into him almost by chance, but divine chance. And that started my journey. And here I am today. I've been studying, however, technocracy for at least 20 years now. I just was reminded that, you know, here we are in 2025. I cannot believe it just snuck up on me, right? But I ran across a friend recently who helped me in the early days research technocracy. And we started our research in 2005. That's 20 years ago. Unbelievable. I mean, it just stunned me. 20 years I've been studying and talking about technocracy. Well,
let's define it, Patrick. Let's actually, before we go any further, let's give a good definition of technocracy. And friends, I've done an interview with Patrick in the past, which I will link up for you at the end of this one, where we do a deep dive, but let's get the bird's eye view.
You bet. Well, the movement itself was started in 1932, the technocracy movement. It had a lot of traction back then. There was over 500,000 card-carrying, dues-paying members of this organization, mostly in North America, lots of in Canada, but lots in the United States as well. This is how they defined themselves. By 1937, anyway, this is their magazine called The Technocrat, original name, right? But this is what exact quote they said: technocracy is the science of social engineering. That's number one. The scientific operation of the entire social mechanism to produce and distribute goods and services to the entire population. That's the economic system. For the first time in human history, it'll be done as a scientific, technical engineering problem. Now, there's the problem right there. They want to do everything according to science and engineers and all that kind of stuff. That's crazy stuff for sure. But when they led off with this business of the science of social engineering, that's really scary, because this is what we see today. We're being manipulated all over the place, not just propaganda and, you know, things like that, but also with science as well. Not just drugs, but all the engineering and brain implants and stuff like that. This is just running amok at this point. I think people get really nervous about this assault on the brain. So here we are today in 2025. We just can't get enough of this stuff. Apparently, they will continue to feed us this stuff. I don't know what we have to do to say stop, but they won't stop at this point.
So you know, you use the phrase that they're running amok, and I kind of coined that. I said, you know, lately we've had government run a Musk, and you said, you know, it's not just Musk that is behind this. Yes. He's got these money men that, you know, tell us a little bit about that, Peter Thiel and some of the others that are behind this social engineering. And
you bet. First off, people need to understand that technocracy was a real thing in the 1930s. It really was. I did all the research, the original research on it, discovered all the stuff that's in my books. I have 3 books now on technocracy, probably another one coming out soon. And so here we have a generational thing from the 1930s to now. That's almost, it's almost 100 years at this point, right? Well, that's a long time. Well, you have to remember that this movement was big in Canada, and the Canadian group of technocracy in the 30s and 40s was run by a chiropractor by the name of Dr. Joshua Haldeman. This name is important because he was the grandfather of Elon Musk. So Elon Musk was raised in a technocrat home. They migrated to South Africa. They got kind of kicked out of Canada eventually, or well, they got disheartened, and the way Canadian was, they were treating him. But now they migrated to South Africa. That's where Musk's mother was born, and that's where Elon Musk was born himself, right? So he came back to America and Canada to get education, and now he's the richest man on the planet, and we see him all over Washington, D.C., and also sticking his nose into other countries' affairs, like Germany and France and, you know, other countries. They don't like him over there either. But this business of technocracy is with us in full force right now. This wasn't an accident. It just didn't sneak up on us all of a sudden. They've been building this model for at least almost 100 years now, and here we're about to suffer the consequences of letting this pass. So when Elon Musk brought his technocrat friends into Washington, D.C. to staff DOGE, for instance. These are all his cronies, the brainiacs of Silicon Valley. And then the other people surrounding them, like people like Mark Andreessen, Peter Thiel is in the background. David Sachs is the AI and crypto czar at this point. All of these people are technocrats. Everyone. And they're marching to a different philosophy and a different drumbeat than we do. They're so otherworldly at times, at least. You want to ask, well, they're not just from another country. It's like, are they actually from this planet? I said, what are they thinking? Well,
People would agree with you on that.
I know. Elon Musk wants to go to Mars. That's his dream of life. He's not the only one. Others in Silicon Valley do want to do that too. Like Jeff Bezos, for instance, founder of Amazon. He wants to go to Mars. I say good riddance.
Yeah, good riddance. Yeah, exactly. I mean, how does that help Americans to spend our money? We're trying to tighten the purse strings here, and there's billions and billions of dollars going to Musk's companies that I believe he's the front man of. But please continue.
Well, this is the biggest story, is that technocracy was started back then. It's consistent today. For instance, they had the concept of universal basic income that was established in 1932. This is all over the news now. They want to have universal basic income. What's that all about? Well, that's because you're going to have so many people out of work that you have to pay them something to keep quiet, right? Because otherwise they're going to come with you for you with pitchforks and torches if they have to at that point.
Yeah, so. let's Let's underline that for a moment, Patrick, because I think that is such a huge part of this whole operation. And some would say, and I know you were a very prominent voice in 2020, I call it the hogwash. You had these pamphlets that you were educating people about, that you have the right to breathe, and all of these harmful you know, medical interventions they were inflicting upon us. But what I want to talk about is, it's almost like they tested, let me know if I'm off base here, but it doesn't it seem like they tested that universal basic income? Because they gave people money, they gave companies money. A lot of people, sadly, that even, you know, they knew that this was hogwash, but they took the government handouts anyway. I guess they needed it. Their businesses were being hit. But in reflection, it's like they tried this out. There were people that didn't want to go back to work, that didn't want to go off the unemployment because they were making more money with the unemployment, at least in California. You know, the governor was just handing it out like candy. And there was so much corruption that was uncovered, that still was being uncovered by companies and people with this money. Do you think that was a test balloon for universal basic income?
I think that was one aspect of it. I really do. And the reason I say that is because the whole, the COVID era, I called it from the start, the great panic of 2020. It wasn't about COVID. It wasn't about the vaccine per se, but the great panic. I looked at that as the first coup d'etat of technocracy, right from the beginning of it. And the reason I say that was because I saw all the scientists and people at universities, like in Europe especially, that abandon all of a sudden all of the talk about climate change and, you know, global warming and all that stuff. And they just rolled over with their computer models onto what was going on with COVID at that time. That was a huge tell for me, because these are the same people that knew how to promote fear with global warming. They just rolled over here, and now they're going to put fear over here.
Computer so, models, right?
Exactly.
Computer models, that's part of it. We're not talking about actual evidence and actual scientific experiments. None of that was ever proven. It was a computer model.
Exactly, yeah. So all of the business of the science of social engineering, now get back to that, the whole thing was a psyop, and that, and the sense that we were manipulated from the get-go by propaganda, by social press. I mean, they put everything but the kitchen sink against us to make us think we're crazy, and, you know, we weren't seeing things right. We got fearful. Probably some people died of fear itself, I'm sure. Yes, but, you know, this was an opportunity for them to throw everything but the kitchen sink against the people of the world. And it wasn't just America. This is a global thing. How many people in the world of the world population got vaccinated? It was over 72% of the world population. That's just incredible.
And as you say, Patrick, the propaganda and the fear that was driving that, there were people, sadly, that, you know, it's really, I think most people have experienced that with themselves or someone they know. You can make yourself sick. You can start believing that you have these symptoms. I've heard so many tragic stories of people taking a loved one to the hospital, not realizing that that was going to be the exact wrong thing to do. So we're now 5 years, 6 years beyond that. And that was like the test balloon to get people to capitulate, to get used to getting money from the government. And I just want to throw in one more thing, and I'll hand the microphone back to you. This is more of an economic play right now that we're seeing with tariffs. And it is concerning to me because in 2018, the fallout of tariffs for farmers were so disastrous that there was a fund of money that Trump and the Congress used to the tune of about $15 billion, with a B, $15 billion was given to farmers to bail them out because the exports stopped flowing to countries in retaliation. Now, I'm not really going to talk about tariffs per se. I've kind of been talking about it a lot. But what I'm looking at here, again, is the government giving money to people to not produce things. These farmers were paid to not And this is not that new. The government has purchased cheese and milk and beef and products from farmers for, you know, programs for the needy and so forth, and public schools and all of that. But what I'm focusing on here is the money that was given from you and me. It's our money that is given to people to not work, to not produce. So I see that this could be another fallout of the tariffs if they go forward and our export industry shuts down, meaning our manufacturing and our production, maybe not manufacturing, but food production and other things. And I want to make one other comment and then I'll turn it back over. I was just researching that many of these billions of dollars were given to millionaire farmers and many of, you know, Trump's cronies, because, and it would happen with any president in office, I'm sure. It leads itself open to corruption. When we're looking at money that is doled out without any productivity, with very little oversight, anyone can do a search online and see the dozens and dozens, if not hundreds of fraudulent COVID CARES Act money that was gotten. People made fake companies and then applied for money. But it all feeds this getting paid like the universal basic income. At least that's how I'm interpreting it.
Yes, yes. We need to remember also that the big picture on this, when technocracy started in 1932, when they were talking about universal basic income at that point, they wanted to do away with a price-based economic system altogether. They wanted to do away with the banking system as it was constituted at that time, based that was a debt-based economic system. And they wanted to do away with money altogether. They wanted to have another way to regulate economic activity. They thought that would be energy, by the way. That's what they focused on, was passing out energy scrip to give you stuff to, spend on goods and services and food, stuff like that, okay? There was no place for private property either, because they said, well, you get your energy scrip, but if you run out before the month is or period is done, that's too bad, you have to mooch. And if you have some left over, too bad, you can't save it because we're going to expire it. And you get a new allocation of this energy scrip. So there's no private property either. No way to, you know, get ahead and have a savings account and pass things to your kids or stuff like that. And this was so radical back then that the American people, when they got wind of it, they just see you people just off your rocker. But they have never given up this idea that eventually capitalism is going to be destroyed altogether. And the price-based economic system that we know is regulated by money, that's the currency, whatever, whether it's electronic or the dollars in your pocket, doesn't matter. This whole thing has been on the chopping block ever since 1932. So when we see these people taking shots at the economic system at this point, and our governmental system as well, well, this is what's playing out here, because they hated politicians as well. They didn't want any politician in existence to exist. They wanted to have all of their, the whole country was going to be run from the top down by technocrats appointed. That's all. There was no discussion needed at that point. They had the science. They knew what they were doing. They were the experts, right? They said, well, you don't have to discuss anything. We're just going to do it. You'll be happy with it. Well, this is exactly what's playing out today. You see the antipathy of these technocrats against the politicians in Washington, D.C. They don't see the bus coming at this point. They're going to be thrown under the bus at some point in time, if not already. But when you talk about the financial system now, it's not just the currency. It's not just the tariffs, but this program is designed at this point, the technocracy program is designed to flatten America to the ground, to strip our economic system away from us and build it back. I won't say build back better, right? You heard that.
Right. Exactly.
Exactly. But this implies that there's a scorched earth policy as far as the economic system is concerned.
I'm jotting all this down, Patrick. These phrases are so compelling that this will flatten the, we will flatten America to the ground. It's a scorched earth policy. And they've been putting this concept of experts for many years, you know, trust the experts, follow the science. And yes. My t-shirt's like, follow the law. Don't follow the science. The science, you can make that be whatever you want. Like you say, we saw that with the scientists and global warming and all that. But this elevation of experts also demeaning those of us that just want to question. Yes. And I've gotten a lot of blowback just from posing questions, from digging deeper, from not following like a party line, or like, I thought you were one of us. Well, I don't know who us is. I'm just after the truth. So this elevation of the experts then removes the political system that we have and the economic system that we have, where we participate in it. And then the AI governance, well, computers are smarter than the people. We don't need judges. You'll just feed this dispute into the computer and AI will tell you who is, what the ruling is. Yes. You don't need a human being. The computers are superior. This is what troubles me and many others.
It should. It really should, because the AI at this point is the pinnacle of technocratic achievement. It really is. When you have people like Elon Musk, for instance, he was one of the co-founders of PayPal, you might remember, with Peter Thiel. And he's been riding this AI horse from the beginning. He was a founder of OpenAI originally with Sam Altman. He has his own company now called XAI. Mm-hmm. And you see all these tech, and these are only technocrats that are running these AI companies, right? It's not normal, like people like head of Raytheon or some other government contractor. This is all technocrats at this point. They're driving this AI system to be a system of control, global control, and in the end, where they can control everything from the top down. There will be no political discourse at that point, because it's just going to be, there's no point for one, but they're not going to let you do it because they'll clamp down on anything you say on social media. And at this point, they're saying, well, you can say anything you want on social media, but nobody's going to hear about it because you have no reach, right?
Exactly.
You have speech, but no reach. Well, yeah. Give me a break. That's a false read, right?
That reminds me of the employers, Patrick, that say, oh, you don't have to get a shot. You can't work here if you don't, but you don't have to. It's your choice. That's not a choice. The gaslighting and brainwashing is astounding. I want to share your website because you've got so many great resources here. And friends, I want you to go to technocracy.news. And I'm going to direct you to this poem about globalist technocrats and transhumanists. Patrick, you let me know about this before we went on the air. Tell me a little bit about this poem, where it came from.
Well, you know, it's just a reader, a follower of Technocracy uh-huh. News. He wrote this poem. He says, hey, I want you just to have this and do whatever you want to do with it. And I said, well, I'll publish it. That's what I'm going to do.
So, I love it. You know, it jumps out. The technocrats want. Yeah.
Exactly. There's other ways to express yourself other than the way we're doing it right now. And I love poetry in general. And this guy wrote a pretty nice poem, and it has a good punchline, and it tells a story. This is going to speak to some people who are caught in that right brain, left brain syndrome, you know, where they can't understand a regular mm-hmm. article. Maybe they can understand a poem.
Well, you have so much on your website here, Patrick. You've got your books, you've got information. There's a newsletter that I want that I'm subscribed to. And it's great because some of my viewers are sending me via email, hey, did you see this? I said, yes, I'm subscribed to the newsletter. So get on the newsletter, and you're covering all of these topics. Just looking at some of these headlines, yes, the transhumanists do want to achieve mortality. You know, anti-aging breakthrough, internet of bodies. So there's a lot to be concerned about, and more than we can dive in on the show today. But what I want to talk about is, you know, people get disheartened and they're like, well, oh my gosh, this is all doom and gloom. You know, the robots are going to be taking over. What should I do? Should I get a robot? You know, what do we do here? And what are some of the things? We talked about this last time as well, about being, you know, being educated, being aware. What else?
Yeah, it'd be nice to have a robot if it really worked.
That really worked, yeah.
But I'm not convinced at this point they're not going to be worth anything. You know, at this point, this whole thing has been sold to us based on fear of the unknown. And certainly there's a lot to think about, you know, going forward. You know, are you going to get hit by a truck or whatever? Are you going to be in the hospital? Something happens to you. You know, we don't know what the future is going to bring for most people. You just don't know. And if you consider all the stuff that's being proposed to us, is all being proposed by technocrats in the first place. They're the ones that may, they're the ones that all, they're the, there's nobody else in society at this point who's given us another alternative narrative except these people. We need to put our head back on a little bit. What's going on here? Are these people selling us a bill of goods? And if so, what's the punchline? You know, where how can we shove it back at them at this point? And this, I think this is going to be the first realization that people have to have. They should understand technocracy. I'm not saying that that's a good thing to do in the first place, but if you can't decipher how these people are conning us at this point, you can't get out of it. So we need to understand the con, what the punchline is, how they're doing it to us, and I think there we'll find the answer on how to get these people off our back altogether.
Patrick, do you think that our elected representatives, you know, like our assembly men and women, and maybe in each state, or even those that are in the federal government, you know, working in the Congress and so forth, do you think they know what's going on? Do you think they're in on it? Or do you think they are really trying to do their best to deal with all of the different committees that they're on? Yes. And the laws that are coming through? What's your take on our representatives?
I really think they don't have a clue. I think they're like the deer caught in the headlights. To my knowledge, and this was a few years ago, but to my knowledge at this point, there's only been one sitting representative in Washington, D.C. that ever read one of my books. That's all.
Wow.
So there you go. And I haven't been in touch with him probably in 2 or 3 years at this point. But he's a good guy. I know him personally. Well, not personally as I could, I guess. But he read my book, and he was so moved. He called me up for lunch, and I want to talk to you about your book. Well, that's great. I did have lunch with him. A great time. But there's very little awareness in Washington, D.C. They just don't see the bus coming from that for them at this point, and they should. They really should, because we want them. We want to put people in office to have common sense to see when they're in danger, at least. And if they're in danger, we should be in danger as well, right? That we want them to protect us, right? Well, they're not protecting us at this point. And this whole business of the AI race, where we have to beat China and Russia, and we have to be the leader of all the data centers and stuff around the country. Give me a break. We don't need any of that stuff to survive in this country. We didn't need it before 20 years ago. We don't need it now either. But this is all the hype that's surrounding these technocrats. All of this, and it's not coming from anybody anywhere else, just this technocrat clutch of people in Washington, D.C. And I think somewhere along the way, the politicians, somebody's going to blink, and hopefully a bunch of them will get the idea, uh-oh, we really stepped in it here. We need to get rid of these people before they get rid of us.
Do you think that Musk is really going away? Do you think he's going to be behind the scenes? Is he a liability to Trump? What do you make of all the headlines about that?
You know, I know there's conflicting stories. I wouldn't worry about it. Musk is who he is, and he's always going to be in the scene because he's a grandstander. He's always been a grandstander. He knows to put on how to orchestrate a grandstand move. But all these other people in Washington, D.C., like Mark Andreessen, he's a nut, in my opinion, the technocrat from the old days. People like Peter Thiel, J.D. Vance, who was mentored by Peter Thiel. David Sachs, he's not going anywhere. Howard Lutnick, our Secretary of Commerce, he's not going anywhere. So, you know, forget Musk. Musk is not the issue right now. It's the whole business of the whole technocrat cabal at this point and what they're doing with our government to try to destruct it, if you will, or deconstruct it, and what they're doing with the monetary system as well, because at this point, they're shoving the Federal Reserve out of the picture in order to launch their private system of digital currency. God help us on that one. You know, so